1908. January 6th, 1908. Instruction to Workers, Ellen G. White. To ministers and teachers. Those who teach the word need not feel that they must search up some new and intricate subject to present to the churches. The most profitable subjects that can be presented are those that Christ dwelt upon when teaching his disciples and the multitudes that daily followed him. His lessons seemed always new and interesting. The common people heard him gladly. When our ministers seek to present something that is new and strange to the common people, they are not following the custom of Christ. Sometimes the things they endeavor to present, they do not themselves understand, and they lead minds away from the path of truth and righteousness. Self, self! When will self die? And when shall we learn what it means to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Let us, as ministers and teachers, study the sermons of Christ, and by prayerful effort, learn to comprehend the very spirit of these discourses. They are to be presented so that the common people can understand them. Let us study over and over again the 14th to the 17th chapters of John. The last sermons of Christ and his last prayer for his disciples contain precious instruction, the treasures of which, study as we may, we can never exhaust. The work to be done in our churches should begin with our leaders. When they humble their souls before God, when they confess their sins and become truly converted, their lives will reveal the transformation within. Selfishness will be emptied from their hearts. Self-confidence will die. The disposition to dominate and control will disappear. Thus saith the Lord, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh." This is a representation of the man who does not humble his heart before the Lord and give up his will to the will of God. This man has lost his discernment and cannot be trusted. And because he has rejected the warnings of God, he has greatly hindered the work of the Lord. He shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Another class is represented in the next words of the prophet. "Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." The prophet continues, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, and let me not be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction." We need to understand these Old Testament figures and representations. Let us give them earnest consideration. We are slow to realize that these things foretold by the Lord's servants have been fulfilled, and are being fulfilled in our present history. God has provided divine assistance for all the emergencies to which our human resources are unequal. He gives the Holy Spirit to help in every strait, to strengthen our hope and assurance, to illuminate our minds and purify our hearts. He means that sufficient facility shall be provided for the working out of his plans. My ministering brethren, I bid you seek counsel from God. Seek him with the whole heart, and whatsoever he saith unto you, do. Mrs. E. G. White, October 22, 1907. September 21, 1908. Extracts from Private Communications. Ellen G. White. A grand work is to be done by our people for the W. The Lord has in that association many precious souls who will accept the truth and become one with our laborers. These workers will be a great help to us in temperance lines. And the education our people have had in Bible truth and in a knowledge of the requirements of the law of Jehovah, they will impart to those who come in among us. Thus, a union of sympathy will be created where in the past prejudice has existed.
We need the help that these women can give us. They need the help we can give them in a knowledge of the gospel Sabbath. By holding ourselves aloof from the workers in the WCTU, our people have lost much, and the members of the W have also been on losing ground. If every possible effort is now made to reach these people, prejudice will be removed, and souls will be reached whom our people have thought would never accept this present truth. Every possible ray of light that we can shed upon the W should be given. If we had 100 soundly converted workers from this body, the cause of present truth would be greatly helped. Many of our own laborers would be taught wherein they might come up on higher ground, and our sisters would learn how they might exert a wider and more uplifting influence than they have in the past. We need the temperance question revived among our own people. It would be a good thing if at our camp meetings we should invite the members of the W to take part in our exercises. This will help them to become acquainted with the reasons of our faith and will open the way for us to unite with them in the temperance work. If we will do this, we will come to see that the temperance question means more than many of us have supposed, and we in turn can teach these workers many things. They will hear the truth, and many will be converted to the faith. In his labors, my husband, whenever he had opportunity, invited the workers in the temperance cause to his meetings and gave them an opportunity to speak. And when invitations were given us to attend their gatherings, we always responded. I have had some opportunity to see the great advantage to be gained by connecting with the W workers, and I have been much surprised as I have seen the indifference of many of our leaders to this organization. I call upon my brethren to awake. We cannot do a better work than to unite, so far as we can do without compromise, with the W workers. Years ago, we regarded the spread of temperance principles as one of our most important duties. It should be so today. Our schools and sanitariums are to reveal the power of the grace of Christ to transform the life. They should be important factors in the temperance cause. I am being aroused anew on this subject. We have a work to do along this line besides that of speaking in public. We must present our principles in pamphlets and in our papers. We must use every possible means of arousing our people to their duty to get in connection with those who know not the truth. The success we have had in missionary work has been fully proportionate to the self-denying, self-sacrificing efforts we have made. The Lord alone knows how much we might have accomplished if, as a people, we had humbled ourselves before Him and proclaimed the temperance truths in clear, straight lines. A large work of seed sowing is yet to be done. To Dr. Lillis Wood Starr, September 5, 1907. To Mrs. Henry, Sister White wrote, June 21, 1899, and recopied, August 15, 1907. I hope, my sister, that you will have an influence in the W Association to draw many precious souls to the standard of truth. The Lord is drawing many to an examination of the truth, and you need not fail nor be discouraged. Sow beside all waters. These are good waters in which you can sow the seeds of truth. In a communication received from Sister White by the last American mail, she says, "Great good will result from bringing the books Ministry of Healing and Christ's object lessons to the attention of the leaders of the W. We should invite these workers to our meetings and give them an opportunity to become acquainted with our people. Place these precious books in their hands and tell them the story of their gift to the cause and its results. Explain how, by the sale of Ministry of Healing, patients may be brought to the sanitarium for healing who could never get there unaided, and how through this means assistance will be rendered in the establishment of sanitariums in places where they are greatly needed. If our sanitariums are wisely managed by men and women who have the fear of God before them, they will be the means of bringing us in connection with the workers in the WCTU. And these workers will not be slow to see the advantage of the medical branch of our work. As a result of their contact with our medical work, some of them will learn truths that they need to know for the perfection of Christian character. The book, Ministry of Healing, may do the same work for our sanitariums and health institutions that Christ's Object Lessons has done for our schools. This book contains the wisdom of the great physician. November 23, 1908. Laborers Together with God. Ellen G. White. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9.
When we follow plans of the Lord's devising, we are laborers together with God. Whatever our position, whether presidents of conferences, ministers, teachers, students, or lay members, we are held accountable by the Lord for making the most of our opportunities to enlighten those in need of present truth. And one of the principal agencies He has ordained for our use is the printed page. My brethren and sisters, let us not become weary in well-doing. During His earthly ministry, Christ traveled on foot from place to place, wearied as He oft-times was, His human nature taxed to the uttermost, yet He was ever ready to heal all who came unto Him and to teach them the way of life eternal. Though often physically exhausted, He left not His work. There was a world to be saved. He made every sacrifice possible in order that light and truth might shine forth. The Lord God of Israel desires us to link up in holy union with Himself and exercise living faith that works by love and purifies the soul. He desires that we shall be a working corps of laborers endowed with adaptability for His service, and unto such He promises power to win a glorious victory for Him. Had the Lord's plan been followed, His name would have been glorified, and many spiritual victories would have been won. E. G. White, Sanitarium, California, July 10, 1908.